Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
G'day, dear listeners. You are listening to Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories here on Israel News Talk Radio. But Ross, I don't want to go to the humorous and happy news stories so much this week because I'd like to be just a little bit more serious. Do you reckon we can talk a little bit about the interesting alliance between Israelis and Christian Zionism? Can I say that?
I think that's a perfect lead-in because I wanted to talk about this. I'm glad you brought it up. As our listeners know, we've talked about it for a couple of weeks. I was in Washington, D.C. this past week for 3 days. I was in a group that I am normally not in the midst of. It was a group consisting primarily of evangelical Christians. And I can tell you that not only did I feel okay and welcome in there, I was just beaming with pride as I watched this non-Jewish audience in a way that I have not witnessed among Jewish people even. Very, very pro-Israel. I'm talking about standing up, waving Israeli flags, cheering as the embassy was moved. We watched a live feed. Amazing 3 days.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the live feed. When I was watching the live feed of the ceremony in Jerusalem, at first I was surprised at the amount of Christian representation, the evangelical Christian representation. But it didn't take me long to think about that and think, well, hang on, why am I surprised? Why should I be surprised? Of course there would be a large representation of that Christian expression, because they have been a massive drive to make it happen,
I believe the
move from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Fascinating. I would love to talk about this with you over the coming program.
Well, I think that's going to be great. And I'm telling you, these people who love their Bible were there to support Israel, and they appealed to, get this, passages from the Hebrew Bible. There were people there who were talking against such doctrines as replacement theology. They were saying, look, we're not Jewish, but we better stand with Israel. And it was an incredible thing. If people were there to witness it with me, they would say the same thing. It was truly incredible.
Well, it is a fascinating alliance, and I think it's one that we can discuss, and I'm really interested in your opinion. So that's what we're going to get into. We will be back to discuss this right after the break. Don't go away.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to Israel on My Mind with Jono Van Dor and Ross Nichols here on Israel News Talk Radio. G'day, Ross.
Hello, Jono. How are you today?
Oh, mate, I'm not too bad. Boy, you've got some news. Come on, tell us all about it. There's been so much that's been happening over this past week. I don't even know how we're going to address everything, but you went to Washington. Tell us.
I did. I went to Washington, D.C. This is it's a very interesting summit that I participated in. So this was called Israel 70 and Strong. That's what the conference was called. And just a couple of things I was going to tell you. It was a strange, we talk about this strange, connection of different dates. So first of all, we were celebrating Yom Yerushalayim. So that falls on the 28th, right?
Mm-hmm.
But on the Gregorian calendar, it just so happens that the following day was the anniversary of Israel's Independence Day, and the United States moved its embassy mm-hmm. to Jerusalem, and the crowd goes wild. So mm-hmm. this is where we let people clap. Okay. Now, no, but it was really fun, because not only did we have really interesting speakers that came in, it was a combination of both Jewish and Christian leaders. They had politicians, they had religious leaders from Christian pastors, leaders of various Christian organizations. Have you ever heard of the International Christian Embassy in Jerusalem?
No, I haven't.
Okay. So it's called the ICEJ. Evidently, this is a pretty big deal, a lot of evangelical support. They not only help to push things through in the U.S. as far as pro-Israel type legislation mm-hmm. and so forth, but they're there and they have a presence in Jerusalem. So the guy who runs that, he was there, and just various different Christian groups were there. But I tell you what, it was nonstop. Oh, and let me jump over to this. I don't know if we've talked about it, but there is a Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. Do you remember hearing about this?
Well, I actually saw photos that you and other people of your delegation had posted on the internet. Now, I know there's a Bible museum opposite the Israel Museum in Jerusalem, and I've been there, and it's fascinating.
Right.
Obviously, I haven't been to the States, so I haven't been to this one. Have you been to both of these?
I went to the one in Israel, and I went to this one in Washington, D.C., and I was quite impressed, I have to be honest. Mm-hmm. It was from – there were different perspectives. Some of the photos that I posted, I was really interested, as you can imagine, in the section of the museum about the Hebrew Bible. So you enter into this area, and it's pretty large. And a lot of the things that they have on display there are replicas, because the real thing is obviously in Israel. Mm-hmm. But they did have some pretty amazing things. And so we spent some time in the Bible Museum. And so anybody who's stateside, I would highly encourage people to go to that particular museum if you're ever in Washington, D.C. It's certainly worth it. But we had our first night of events were hosted there at the Bible Museum. So that was kind of cool. We went in, we went through the Hebrew Bible part. They had a lot of Torah scrolls. They had a lot of very old manuscripts. And then after we went through that, we went up and we had one of those pro-Israel rally points. Mm-hmm. It was really, really nice.
So tell me, let me ask you some questions about that. Were there any big, because we were speculating who was going to be there before the event. This is obviously happening while it's all happening in Jerusalem as well. Who were the big names at the gig where you were at?
Well, I tell you, you and I hoped that Nikki Haley would be there. She was not there.
Okay.
So really, we didn't have the big names in terms of the big hitters, because as you know, many of those were in Jerusalem mm-hmm. or various. I know Nikki had her sleeves rolled up and she was fighting in the UN, so
yeah,
she was in New York.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that she spent her time there. But there were quite a few. Most of the big names, if you talk about popularity in terms of popular people, were from the Christian organizations. They had. I don't know if you're familiar with this CBN, Christian Broadcast Network.
I've heard of it, yeah.
All right. So the chief executive officer of CBN, Gordon Robertson, was there. Very, very pro-Israel guy. Dr. Jürgen Bühler from the International Christian Embassy in Jerusalem. In other words, people that are very, very popular in the evangelical world were there.
So
go ahead.
Well, no. You've piqued my curiosity, and you know, to take this program to a different tone for a moment, and I hope you don't mind. Let's just be serious.
No, go ahead.
Let's be a bit more serious, because I'm just curious about that. I read articles over this past week, some saying that evangelical Christianity is a better friend to Israel than the American Jewish left. And and that it wouldn't have this move to relocate the embassy wouldn't have happened without the evangelical push. Now, I did see also Christian organizations and Christian leaders like Hagee, John Hagee, for example, was
right
prominent in the ceremony in Jerusalem, and right. I thought that's interesting. And I read a little bit about his input, and there was a petition that was a massive petition that was signed that he had organized to get things moving, and so on and so forth. What's the general vibe there, and how are Jewish people to understand this?
Let me just say, first of all, that I totally agree with the sentiment that is expressed in these articles that you're reading. One thing that is absolutely, you can't even argue this, at least in the U.S., and I would venture to suggest that it's probably in countries around the world, and putting theology aside, if you're talking about a demographic, a group of people who are driving this mm-hmm. pro-Israel stand, it is, without a doubt, the evangelical Christians. Now, first of all, I mean, we've talked about President Trump on our program and so forth. Mm-hmm. This group, first of all, let's just look at it from a practical standpoint. It's a big voting bloc. So whenever you have this many people who have very strong opinions about a positive view and a positive stand for Israel, you're talking about votes. And so this largest group of people, these evangelical Christians, are very, very hard about let's promote a very positive view of Israel. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we see is this group, this was pretty amazing. It wasn't a religious gathering. Like it wasn't like a Christian church service, but it was Christian. I mean, most of the people here were Christian. And in the U.S., at least, most of the Jews that are representing, they're not representing Israel. They're probably the loudest voice of the Jewish community here is very liberal, very left, and certainly not as pro-Israel as this group of evangelical Christians. So one of the things that I heard over and over from the Israeli representatives, we had three different speakers that came from the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. and they said it just plainly. They said, we absolutely appreciate and love the evangelical Christian community for driving this. If you take that group out, and in other words, they're steady mm-hmm. telling their politicians, move that embassy. And if they wouldn't have, it wouldn't have happened.
It wouldn't have happened.
I would really say that.
So can I ask you a theological question? Can we discuss theology now just for a second while we've got a few minutes in this first segment?
Yeah.
Is it like a sort of a bittersweet relationship perhaps? Because theologically, what is the outcome in the evangelicals' mind with Jerusalem being recognized as Israel's capital on such a significant level outside of Israel, of course? They already yeah. know that Jerusalem is the capital. There's no secret there. But for other major players, and especially the states, to acknowledge that to be the fact, eschatologically, if I can use a theological word, how is this to be understood by Christians? What is the significance to them? And is it to be treated with fair caution by the Jewish people?
Absolutely not. To answer the last question first, I don't think there's any strings attached. And in other words, if the question is, do we think that there is an ulterior motive? In other words, does it have something to do with the second coming of Jesus or whatever? Mm-hmm. I really believe that it is a love and admiration for the scriptures. Now, obviously, their Bible contains more books than the Jewish Bible. Mm-hmm. However, I think that anyone who reads the Bible has to come away with this very strong stand on Jerusalem is the capital. And I can't tell you how many times I heard this week, look, the modern state of Israel is 70 years old, but the capital of Israel has been Jerusalem for more than 3,000 years. I mean, there were pastors, there were other Christian leaders who got up and made that statement. So they didn't seem to be presenting this with any strings attached. It was almost like, look, the Bible says it, we believe it, move that embassy. And they really pushed the hand. They played it hard until finally and ultimately all of the politicians were forced into making this move.
Okay, so we don't,
at least that's my take.
We don't need to read anything into it that may be detrimental to the Jewish faith, is what you're saying. I mean, I understand that John Hagee, for example, if I remember correctly, I think he is a dual covenant theologian. That is to say that he believes that Christians have a way to, quote, salvation through Jesus, and that also Jews have a way to, quote, salvation, whatever that means to the Christian, through the Torah. If I remember correctly, I think, but that's not the norm when it comes to Christian theology.
It certainly isn't. And I tell you what, let's talk a little bit more about this after the break, because I think we can go a little bit more on this. This is a fascinating topic.
I've got a lot of questions for you in this regard. We're going to go to a break. We will be back right after these messages. Don't go away.
There was a time you didn't worry about terrorism. It was something that happened in a faraway place or to someone else. But now you want to know. Now you want to understand. Now you're afraid that you might be in the danger zone. You need to listen to Gadi Edelman on The Danger Zone every week, where you will find out the truth about what is going on in the world around you. Gadi Edelman on The Danger Zone, right here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to Israel on My Mind with John O'Vandor and Ross Nichols here on Israel News Talk Radio. Slightly different flavor this week, Ross, but I still have some questions that I want to ask you about this while we're on theology and so on and so forth. I mean, I'm looking at a couple of articles just in front of me, just as an example. Israel National News, Michelle Bachmann, I think is how it's pronounced, apologizes for urging Jews to convert. Former congresswoman, Tea Party leader and 2012 GOP presidential candidate Michelle Bachmann visits Jerusalem, apologizes for past comments. So in the past, she has, it would appear that she's urged Jewish people to convert and accept, you know, her faith, accepting Jesus and so forth. Another one in the J-Post, pastor at Jerusalem embassy event said...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is a guy that said all Jews and Muslims and... Mormons. Everyone else goes to hell. Mormons. Mormons.
Pastor has also, and Muslims, the pastor has also come out against the Catholic Church, saying it was following Satan's path, and said former President U.S. Barack Obama was, quote, paving the way for the Antichrist.
Some even say that he is the Antichrist. So that he gave him a little slack there, but go ahead. Yeah. Okay.
Now, that was Pastor Robert Jeffress, I do believe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so you do get this. It does happen. It makes the headlines when it happens. And we went to the break discussing the relationship between Jewish Zionists and Israel and Christian Zionists, that without whom it's quite possible and highly likely that the embassy relocation from Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, wouldn't have happened. And how are we to understand that? So thoughts.
Well, first of all, you just brought up a term that's very important in all of this. You mentioned the term Christian Zionist. Now, there happened to be a person there. She was one of the, I think she was the one who really pulled all this together. Her name is Susan Michael. She's with the International Christian Embassy of Jerusalem, but she's over the U.S. branch. I think that they have these branches all over the place. And she brought this up because in some ways people think, well, that's sort of an oxymoron. If you're a Christian, you're a Christian. If you're a Zionist, you're a Zionist. You know, if you look up a textbook definition of Zionism, it doesn't have anything to do with Christianity, right? So she wanted to retain that title because she said any Christian worth their salt, basically. In other words, this was her take on it. Mm-hmm. Anyone who truly believes, and then she did give a little of her theology, she said, you have to believe, if you believe the Bible, that God has shown favor to the Jewish people, that they are the apple of his eye, and that Jerusalem is and always will be the eternal capital of Israel. So she said, yes, I am very Zionist and I'm very Christian. This is this lady saying.
So if I understand what you're saying, she is saying that there's no difference between a Jewish Zionist, a Christian Zionist. There is just Zionism.
That's right. Okay. She said, look, if you're a Christian and you really believe the Bible, you better be a Zionist, which that was the feeling that you got almost in the breathable air at this summit this week, mm-hmm. Was that these people, no one that I was around and none of the formal lectures, none of the formal talks in any way preached a message of Christian salvation to the audience. It was truly all about, hey, we love Israel, we're here to serve. And I tell you, one of their main texts that almost without exception these speakers would go to, and that's Genesis chapter 12. We know this, mm-hmm. Lech Lecha.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they wanted to really stress was, again, if you, and they would not necessarily quote it or read it verbatim, but what they would do is they would constantly appeal to the idea that if you are blessed, if you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. And if you, and this is because they're using their English, if you curse Israel, then you're cursed. Mm. And so quite often they would appeal to various stories in Scripture to make that very point. Hey, look, let's make sure that we're on the right side of history, that we are on the right side of this text. And it was really refreshing. Now, you and I both know that if we sat down with them and had a conversation about, you know, how do you get into the world to come? I mean, in other words, they would clearly articulate a very Christian position. Hmm. It's just like this pastor that, you know, all Christians at the heart of it believe in this message of salvation that is different than what the Hebrew Bible, what the Jewish people would promote in terms of, you know, what do you need to do kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, it really didn't come up. And I think one of the things that was very interesting to me is that I guess I think Israel needs friends. Israel doesn't need anybody to teach them theology, but Israel definitely needs people who would stand up and support and stand alongside. And that's exactly what this group is doing. In fact, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu is very open to this, I don't know how to put it other than to say, this wave of Christian Zionists who were pro-Israel. I mean, think about it. We've talked about it. We lead tours. But, you know, when you talk about 3.6 million tourists came to Israel last year, and most of those, as we've covered in previous shows, are evangelical Christians.
Mm.
Oh, let me tell you something else about the blessing and the curse.
Please.
One of the pastors got up and he said, let me run something by you. All of you. Now, this is a preacher, right? And he goes, whenever we talk about the blessings and the curses, he said, I want to tell you that the biggest danger right now that is out there in theology is replacement theology. And he began to tell this group, primarily Christians, that one of the biggest problems that the church had to get away from is this idea that the church has superseded and basically taken the position of the Jewish people. And he made this point, and I thought, wow, I wonder if everyone's really listening to what he's saying. But he said, you ever notice how in your churches, your pastors, he said, I'm a pastor, I'm a Christian. But he said, you ever notice how a lot of times they will take on all the blessings, you know, like your vats are going to overflow, anything right, positive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the curse, if their curse is for disobeying God's rules, well, that's for the Jewish people.
Right.
And he made that point, and then he kind of preached it up a little bit. And I thought, wow, I mean, you don't always hear that because you do get a lot of that. People will take over the blessing part. But his point to them is, he said, God's rules, God's instructions contain consequences for both good and bad behavior. I mean, it was his take on things, but it was refreshing to hear him kind of give that role. But
that's really interesting. I wonder if that is a theological place of standing that is growing, because as I mentioned, and look, I could be wrong about this, but last I checked, I do believe that John Hagee would be put in the in the category of dual covenant theology. This guy making those observations, I would be likely to put into the same category. And I wonder if that is spreading, and that's the general understanding among evangelical Christians, and particularly evangelical Christians who are Zionists. That is to say that the Jews are in a covenant with God and are obligated to observe the Torah. And their understanding is that, and they are obligated to follow the teachings of Christ. Would that be a fair summary?
Both
of these are valid in their mind. Both of these are valid covenants of different people.
I think you are dead on this. I think whenever we look at what's going on in the evangelical world today, and you deal with this all the time, you and quite a few others have sort of been on a careful watch, and it's needed to say, hey, we need to be careful and watch out for these missionary types.
Mm-hmm.
But within this, let's just back up, and when we look at evangelical Christianity, something's going on. Whenever these people who truly are reading their Bible, talking about people who are reading their Bible, something in the last 20 years especially, I've seen this, it happened to me. But I'll give you an example. One of the pastors stood up and he said, you know what this move of the embassy said? You know, we can say it's a great deal and it is a great deal, but he said, we are just following up on what God actually declared to Abraham. We're talking about, he used this phrase, we're talking about the Abrahamic covenant. These guys were pulling straight from the Torah, straight from the prophets, and rarely did they even mention text from the Christian writings. And they didn't even have to, because it's about Jerusalem, and it's about how God has ordained this place to put his name. And so this group was here for one reason, and that reason seemed to be no strings attached as far as I could tell. Hey, let's do what it is that God said do, and let's not worry about what happens as a result. And they were fired up, and they were in unison over this.
So you mentioned the Abrahamic covenant. You mentioned the Genesis chapter 12, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, verse 3, right, if I remember correctly. And and didn't we see the extremities of that? On one hand, in the news, we're watching the opening of the embassy in Jerusalem, the U.S. embassy,
right.
and at the same time, it's going back and forth from the border of Gaza, and back we go to the embassy, and then back we go to Gaza. Now, I was about to go to bed, and shout out to my mate Nathan. G'day, Nathan. Big fan of Israel News Talk Radio, and works at JAIR in Melbourne. Nathan gives me a call at 9 p.m. and he says, "Are you watching this?" And I said, "No, I'm about to go to bed." He goes, "No, you got to be watching this." So he goes, "Switch on I-24. Now, usually, you know, when I'm not getting my news from Israel News Talk Radio, I'm watching maybe I-24 or ILTV. And I switch it on and I said, "Look, I've run out of my trial period." He said, "No, you've got to go to the Daily Motion." He gives me this link from the Daily Motion that goes straight there to I-24 in English and everything. I thought, this is great. We spent about 40 minutes on the phone together watching what was going on in Gaza and everything that happens to those who want to curse Israel, and then flashing back to the great and wonderful things of the U.S. blessing Israel. It was an amazing contrast to watch. All right, we're going to go to another break. We'll be back right after these messages. Don't go away.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to Israel on My Mind with John O'Vandor and Ross Nichols here on Israel News Talk Radio. Ross, you were saying?
Yes, there are a couple of things that I wanted to bring up. My favorite part of this whole week, 3 days that I was in Washington, D.C., two things really stand out other than what we just covered. And that is that there one of the speakers is a gentleman by the name of Avi Joresh. He is the author of Thou Shalt Innovate. Now, I don't know that we've covered this guy's book. I think it just came out. I got the book. I've read the book, but I don't want to talk about it now. But other than to say, you get to choose. There were breakout sessions one of the days that we were there. You pick, what do I want to go to? So I picked two. I went to Israeli Innovation by this author, Avi Jorish, and another one called Political Action for Israel. And and just the gist, a real high-level flyby on this author. The guy was the most compelling speaker. I don't think I have ever heard a presentation that was as gripping and powerful as this man gave. He was talking about how Israel not only has it been so much in the forefront, leading the world in terms of innovation and various inventions and so forth, but he says it really, if you really want to look what's driving it, he said it's the culture. It is the culture that is ingrained in the Jewish people, not only to help your neighbor, which leads people to be creative in terms of medical and all these breakthroughs, but just in terms of, you know, how we've talked about, Israelis are the first ones on the scene anytime somebody needs help. You know, it's almost without exception. They are low. And some of these people don't even like them. So anyway, he explained that. So I would encourage people to get that book. It's called Thou Shalt Innovate.
Okay.
Wonderful book. The second one was on Political Action for Israel. And I really enjoyed this particular presentation because the speaker made it very clear. It was actually a panel of speakers. There were four people who talked. And what they said to this group, primarily Christians, is, listen, I know that generally you stay out of politics. Stop it. We need you to get involved. We need you to drive political action for Israel. You contact your legislators, you contact your senators and your representatives, and push for pro-Israel and even to pass anti-BDS legislation. According to the stats that I just looked up, there are 24 states in the U.S. of the 50 who have already passed anti-BDS legislation. This group said, we are on the phone to help you to get your state on that list. So as soon as I get the information, I'll be posting that so our listeners can look at the map. They can determine if their state in the U.S. has not passed. And if you haven't, so what I can do as a citizen who loves Israel, I can even write this with the help of these people who are deeply rooted in Washington culture. They will help me write it, and I can bring it to my representative and say, now bring this before the House.
So what you're saying is that they will help people, they will walk them through the process of what needs to be done on the political stage, because a lot of people, they don't know. I mean, who do you contact? Who do I write to? And it goes over the head of a lot of people. But what you're saying is that this organization will walk people through the process and make sure that the right letters are directed to the right people.
That's right. And they'll even write the legislation. They'll help you write the legislation based on their other successes, getting it passed in other states. And then, let's face it, our politicians in each given state, first of all, they may not be pro-Israel, but if you find someone who is, you can help them to present this in such a way that it will be passed. So people on that listen to our show, I'm going to put that information up as soon as I get it so that they can contact and maybe drive that. And let's get some grassroots going and get more of the states in the U.S. to promote this anti-BDS legislation. So okay. There you go.
So
wonderful summit. I had a great time.
You'll put that information on our Facebook page, Israel in My Mind.
Absolutely.
Israel won Eurovision. How about that?
Yep, I saw that.
Netta. Now she won, and she was tipped to win. They really thought that it was going to happen. People who have been listening to the program know that I just really, that song just doesn't do it for me at all. The song and the video clip, actually, I just really try to avoid it altogether. And Facebook was absolutely coated in the song Toy, and I just sort of walked away for a day. But I have to say, Ross, and I'm not going to sugarcoat this, I hate that song. I hate the video clip.
I hear you.
And everything about it just rubs me up the wrong way. However, I will say a couple of things about that. I have seen her perform different songs and live recordings and whatnot. She has got an incredible voice. She's very clearly very talented. And I've appreciated some of the other stuff that I've heard from her. But this particular song just really repels me. But having said that, I'm happy for her. She's very talented. I'm glad that she won. And what I didn't realize was how good it is for Israel that she has won, because I didn't know, and I now know, that this means that it will be held in Jerusalem next year.
Yes.
What an amazing thing that she has achieved. I mean, this is going to be something to really, and I'm not a Eurovision fan at all. I don't know how it works really. And the genre of music that's generally represented in Eurovision, just, it's not my genre, and that's fine. But with having said all of that, what it reminds me of and what it got me thinking about is some of my friends who are, whether they're Jewish or they're not Jewish, but they're Zionist people. They are pro-Jewish, they're pro-Israel, very much pro-Israel. And yet they absolutely despise your current president, President Donald Trump. He rubs them up the wrong way, and they just have this clash with him that they can't get past. And I think to myself, okay, I can see that now in that I kind of feel the same way about this particular song. I just can't get past it. But what I can do is say, regardless of whether I like the presentation or not, regardless of whether I like the package or not, this is a positive thing for Israel. This is going to be great for tourism. This is going to be have very, very positive repercussions in so many different ways, and it's something to be celebrated. And I think now if I can do that in regards to the song Toy and Netta winning Eurovision, congratulations to her, Mazel Tov, surely in the same way, don't you think? I mean, fair is fair. I mean, you were saying the other day that you met an elderly lady who said, I didn't vote for him to be my pastor. You know,
I
voted for him to be because he was going to be pro-Israel, and he's proven very much to be so. He's a real friend of Israel.
Well, and I think one thing to add, when you describe how much you're not a fan of Netta or
well, that particular song,
that song, people that are not Trump fans, it's not that they just don't like one song that he sings. They don't like the singer, you might say. That's the
right.
So I get that. But I do understand your point. And what I wish that people could do is at least recognize, if you're pro-Israel, look, you don't have to vote for him, you don't have to like him, but I think that people ought to be able, like you just said, to look at the results of what he's doing. Look,
and acknowledge
this
it.
Embassy move, yeah, at least say, well, okay, give him that. This embassy move has been on our books as a law since 1995. And four presidents before him said, we're going to do it. We're going to move. Mm-hmm. We're going to move it. Mm-hmm. And they didn't. And he did. And now everybody acts like it's this horrible idea. Well, not everybody. But I tell you, it is really, truly amazing how much this pro-Israel camp. Like, I don't know. We talk about Nikki Haley. Did you notice the other day that when Abbas prepared to speak, or when the Palestinian
contingent, she got up and walked out.
She got up and walked out. Yeah. I think that is exactly what she ought to do. Yeah. And I would have been standing up clapping, and I'd have run out after. But you know, we did see that 2 days after the U.S. embassy was opened, that Guatemala followed through with their promise, and they officially opened their embassy. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah. So Jimmy Morales Cabrera, May 16th, Guatemalan president, second country, and we've talked about how it's going to be followed, according to what we're reading in the news, by Paraguay and who else? Honduras, I believe. Mm-hmm. So several of these countries are deciding to get on the right side. And I think that that is what is really going to pick up. I think it's going to get more and more over the few weeks. I hope so.
I hope so too. It has been a spectacular week to behold. Obviously, everything that's happened this week, we can't cover it all. We've done our best, and I'm glad that we touched on the topics that we did. On a more serious note, Ross, I know that's certainly a bit more your cup of tea, and I appreciate your opinion and insight.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for asking my opinion. And I think that hopefully what this will do is encourage other Christians, other non-Jewish groups to promote a very positive view of Israel, and perhaps some of the Jewish, more of the Jewish side of things in the U.S. will say, hey, look, we've got friends now. It's time to stand up and speak up. That's what I hope happens.
Hope so. This is all we have time for. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back this time next week. We hope you join us again. And then, until then, have a great one.
Have a beautiful week.
This is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Karras from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.